great place this is. I wish I lived nearer. I'd be coming every Monday, I think. Five words in this were fardo, golden, durdum, if that's how you pronounce it, portrait, and how. I had to look up what durdum meant. Apparently it means noisy, wailing, reproachful. Fardo I didn't know, because and which is why I wrote this, because some time ago I was in Lisbon, and fardo is a popular Portuguese type of song, and I was in a bar down by the river, and the woman who was singing fardo in there, she'd apparently been a big star at one time, and now she was just singing bars just around by the river. So this is what this is based on. She enters in a hiss of silk, framed in the entrance arch, low key. Then a brief single finger snap and clicking of flamenco heels to match the scrape of dissonance on the guitar, commanding total silence in the room. She stares us down, expressionless, aloof. The harsh spotlight does not flatter. She looks older than her portrait at the door, a fading record of her golden prime. A spiky chord of melody sets the mood. We fardo purists know the song, how love torments and is betrayed. She starts to sing, a voice pitched low and softly riding on the breath. We strain to hear the words, the sound of resonance of pain. Acceptance, resignation builds to rage, and this old woman is transformed into a jealous lover scorned, like a Medea seeking her revenge. She cries a harsh chromatic scale, a rising durdum wail of loss that shivers through an angry octave leap. We find that we are breathing to her pace, a dominatrix in complete control. She clings to one last high climactic note, while the guitarist holds the tension taut along a throbbing, dying string. A moment's silence, then we shout for more. Paul asked me to do one or two other poems I've written, and this one, 3 years ago, I was persuaded to go to the Glastonbury Rock Pop Festival, which was incredible. Hundreds of tents, lots of stages, lots of mud, and a general aroma of spliff through all the tents. So this is a sonnet. I love writing sonnets. I like form structures. And this is called When Grandpa Went to Glastonbury. His thinning hair was braided at the back. His denim jacket blazed with blinding bling. He pierced an earlobe with a zodiac ring and aimed to look a retro Kerouac. He danced at Glastonbury in the nude, got stoned on acid in the acid rain. He called his lizard throat a dealer, dude, and used his credit card to chop cocaine. At times, Viagra groined. In sudden rage, he'd roar that he was never understood by family and friends who thought he should conform and settle for their bourgeois cage. His son, a tight-arsed banker, thinks him sad and never mentions his old hippie dad. Another one. A friend of mine does a lot of work with the homeless on the streets, and unfortunately in England now there are quite a lot of homeless on a lot of streets in some of our major cities, and I sometimes go out with him. And one night, one of the things I've noticed is quite a number of ex-servicemen who are sleeping rough on the streets. And this guy I was talking to had been in Afghanistan and was so severely traumatized, it wasn't true. And this is what I wrote. It's called Ex-Soldier on the Street. It's in an anthology. It was published this year. He stares ahead while others beg for coins, enough to score clean needles and a fix that guarantee a brief oblivion from doorway piss and sodden cardboard dens, a limbo world of hidden, damaged lives of silence within layers of loneliness. Sometimes the past and present interweave. A falling coin becomes a cartridge case ejected from a burnt-out blackened breech of cold gun metal pressed against his throat. The hidden tripwired mines and burning tanks flame into fear that still flares deep inside. It's then he wakes and struggles to recall brief fragments of a past identity, like faint graffiti on a barracks wall. By these leaking bivouacs some share with dogs, each territory is staked out, fiercely fought, as evolution snarls and culls at night, when shifting pecking orders on the street ensure only the fittest will survive.
People wanting to read.
Perhaps this is my future at my age. Again, people at my age, a lot of us have friends in care homes, which vary, shall we say. And whenever I go to see him and come out, I wonder really whether it's a good idea. It's called In the Care Home, and it's a double sonnet. They say that I may keep my TV, my writing desk, an ancient easy chair. The rest must go. My flat is soon stripped bare. I smile and nod, much better to agree. I'm lucky, for a single room is free. If I refuse, then I may have to share, I'm sternly told. A gamble. Do I dare to risk a roommate who may smell of pee? I'm now allowed one picture, the rules say, to brighten up a wall that's neutral cream. A Tesco print, perhaps, a sunlit bay, a carer says, something to warm and gleam. My world shrinks, well-fed boredom every day to leech the cortex stem. I choose monk's scream. The wolf note in the wind along the bay winds around a seagull's piercing cry. The promenade gates empty, winter grey, and sluggish waves reflect a slung sky. Coats care of fastened, gloves pulled tight on hands, scarves python coiled. It's walking, though some moan. It's time to breathe the ozone on the sands, a daily ritual set as if in stone. The home insists it's bracing this fresh air. Good for the lungs, circulates the blood. Well, at my age, do I really care as we trudge sullenly through sandy mud? Give me my numbing telly, then a snooze to dream of sex and smoke-filled pubs and booze.